Lord, we stand on holy ground. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. One day I will have the courage to speak on the gospel text, and he put manure on it. But not today. Not today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Hence the title of my sermon, with thanks to a well-known television commercial, it just keeps on going. The Energizer Bush. This classic, memorable example of consumption without decrease, of use without exhaustion, of labor without burnout, this bush, burning but not consumed, has been examined by many a Bible student, and I share some of their earnest research with you. Benny Shannon, professor of cognitive psychology at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, wrote a paper, you may have read it, Biblical Entheogens, a Speculative Hypothesis. He suggests Moses was under the influence of an hallucinogenic substance when he witnessed the burning bush. He concludes, how fascinating, he says, but I have no direct proof of this interpretation. And such proof cannot be expected. Well, there were trees damaged for no purpose. Then Alexander and Zena Fleischer relate the biblical story to the plant Dictamnus. They write, quote, intermittently, under yet unclear conditions, the plant excretes such a vast amount of volatiles that lighting a match near the flowers or the seed pods causes the plant to be enveloped by flame, though the flame quickly extinguishes. And they write this in that well-read Journal of Essential Oil Research. Colin Humphreys, Starkly and Riley replies, well, the book of Exodus suggests a long-lasting fire that Moses went to investigate, not a fire that flares up and then rapidly goes out. And, ignoring all the advice of homiletic professors that I never had, one more final attempt at demystification. In Eastern Orthodox parlance, the preferred name for this event is the unburnt bush. Theology and hymnography view it as prefiguring the virgin birth of Jesus. Neither your rector nor I had ever heard of this before. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Theotokos, God-bearer, is viewed as having given birth to the incarnate God without, quote, suffering any harm, unquote. I think that was written by a man. All of these attempts at rationalization refuse to do what Moses did and for which God rewarded him. They refuse to practice what I believe is an essential part of the spiritual life. Listen, Exodus 3, verse 3, Message translation. Moses said, what's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't this bush burn up? They refuse to practice mindfulness, reflection. There is Moses on the hillside with his father-in-law's sheep, and he sees this thing and he stops and he looks and he reflects and he considers mindfulness. If I may complicate a simple dictum, what else are clergy for? Such people refuse, and I made this up this morning, to discontinue pedestrian activity use olfactory sensory neurons in juxtaposition to methylaxine alkaloid. In other words, did you get it? They do not stop to smell the roses. Moses turned aside and looked. His primary question was not, how is this happening, but rather, what does this mean? His primary interest was not, where is the answer to this, but rather, where is God in this? This is crucial stuff. There is no situation in which you or I find ourselves today, in the past, in time to come, in which God is not present. We cannot preempt him. He always gets there first. And our task, therefore, is to say, maybe with the help of others, where is God in this? But it seems to me, upon reflection, that Moses' question, why doesn't this bush burn up, is never answered in this passage. Does anyone disagree? No, I know you wouldn't, but... But this question of Moses is a crucial inquiry. We want to know how we can be given to constant pastoral care without chronic neglect of self. We want to know how we can be persistent in hope without becoming resigned to status quo. We want to know how we can labor extensively without incurring excruciating burnout. We want to know. And so did Moses. And so, Moses, if you're listening, I think I may have the answer. I find it in Exodus 3, 6 and 14. Verse 6, I am the God of your father, of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Verse 14, I am who I am, which can also be translated, I will be what I will be. I believe it is in the assurance of self-identity, I am who I am, that we can burn but not be consumed. The embrace of self-identity, the acceptance of ourselves, the immersion in confidence, acceptance, security, all of this makes it possible to burn passionately, yet not be consumed. The frantic desire to people please, the frenetic activity to hide the real self, all this and more consumes us. It erodes our deepest psyche. It acts like termites, eroding the very foundation of our souls. Now, for the Lord God, this is a done deal. I am who I am. Though the phrase, I will be what I will be, opens that a little more widely, but that's promised another time. But for us, is it a process? It should be a process of recovery, relapse, and then, please God, recovery. So we feel our hearts and minds resonating with the avowed commitment of the psalmist who says, O God, you are my God, earnestly do I seek you. My flesh faints for you. My soul is content as with marrow and fatness. We believe that the Lord loves us. I believe that the Lord loves you with a constant, immovable, irrevocable, endless love. We see that love in the birth and the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus. But as we grasp this belief, or better, as we are grasped by this belief, we discover that we can burn but not be consumed. We can be spent but not depleted. As we know, really know, that we are beloved by God. Without hesitation, I recommend to you Bruce Feiler's book, Walking the Bible. Mr. Feiler writes of a visit to St. Catherine's Monastery in the Sinai Desert, which is the supposed site of the burning bush. A photograph in the book shows a most resplendent bush protected by a strong stone wall, but the reader is invited to look more closely at the picture. And as you do, next to this enormous shrub, there stands a fire extinguisher. Many a Christian, many a church, has a fire extinguisher always at hand, just in case the burning, passionate flame of God breaks out. There is much that assails us in our identity as God loved. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all the ites are out to take that from us. But it will not happen as long as we surrender to the one who says, I am, and enables us to say, I am, by the grace of God, who I am. Amen.